Mr. Randy, behave yourselves and listen to them. I'm going to ask you a question after service of what you learned tonight, okay? Are you going? Go ahead and go back to my screen. Brandon, my title page. My spiritual life. This is part three of our series talking about peace. We added it to the board off our tree. The main thing in this whole series is that always remember, what does that trunk say on there? No. It's not even looking. Christ, which is the cornerstone. But Christ is our foundation. He is the root of all of our lives. So everything we produce, we need to be attached to Him. We know that if we're attached to the Lord, we produce Lord stuff, right? If we're attached to the devil, we produce devil stuff. We're attached to the world, we produce sin. We're attached to Christ, we produce righteousness. It's all about the foundation we're building on. It's all about where we start at. It's all about the beginning. So this, our life on top here, as you see, represents, you know, our life off of His foundation. And then from our life, we produce these things, hopefully. Love as a Christian, joy as a Christian, and now peace as a Christian. We talked the last 2 weeks about love and joy and how these should be synonymous with our walk with God. Because I don't know how we can walk, say we're followers of Christ if we don't love one another and don't show that love. And what I mean by that is not just love the ones you like, but love everybody. And don't love the ones that just look like you, love everybody. From the country bumpkin, to the black, to the Hispanic, to the liberal, to the Republican, to whatever that person's life represents, we love one another. Because the Bible says God is love. And the Bible says He has no respect to persons. And God loves each of us as part of His family. The second thing we talked about was joy. How many times do we see Christians not really happy? They don't smile very much. They look defeated, and they look overcome, and they look sad, and they look like they need to be on something because they're so sad. Like, come on, you're a Christian. You've got a future and a hope the devil can't take away. You've got an end result the devil can't interfere with. You've got a final destination that Satan has no authority in removing out of your life, period. So I know I've been saved. I know where my journey's leading me. I know where I'm going to end up. I know death doesn't have me. Disease won't take me out because I'm in the hands of a living God. And so I can have joy knowing that I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was a sinner, but now I'm saved. I had no hope, and now I'm full of hope. I had no future, and now my future is sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've got something to rejoice about. Something to be happy about. For the person that passes off this earth, their faith is in Christ. We celebrate those moments for them, not for us. We are sad. When Uncle Gail, well, I called him Uncle Gail, he wasn't my uncle, but I called him Uncle Gail. He was 87 years old and had good health. I mean, he had issues, but he battled through those and he still worked and functioned and drove and did his thing. To the very end, he was 87. He had his share of hardships. He had his share of struggles, relationship-wise, finances, health, all those issues. And when he went home to be with the Lord, we are saddened by that. We are left a little bit empty, just like when your brother James. I know you miss him every day, Doc. But we are celebrating where they're at. And for Gail Finch, we can say, yes, yes, you made it home. Praise be to God. We are happy for Gail. We are happy for James. We are happy for my grandpa. We are happy for those who have crossed that line. And we rejoice in that, knowing that is our destination one day too. That we'll lay down all the junk we have to go through here on the earth. And we'll walk into what God's prepared for us. So why go through the junk? I can rejoice. Because this junk's going to eventually pass away. And the stuff in my life's going to eventually go away. So, God, I rejoice because I know You. And You know me. And we're in a covenant relationship. The word covenant is a very powerful word. Covenant's a contract. It's a binding agreement. God has made a covenant with us through the blood of Jesus. And that covenant can't be broken. It's a binding legal agreement between me and God. That I'm his child, he's my father. The Bible says I've been adopted into his family. I'm now his son. I'm now his child. I'm now an heir of God. Bill brought this verse up Sunday morning in Sunday school. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. See, me and Melanie, we have separate and joint accounts at the same time. I do my thing. She does her thing, but they're both joint. So I can go to the bank out of her account and say, give me $1,000 off Melanie's account. It's a legal agreement. The teller don't ask me one thing. What does she know about this? Do I need to call her? Did she give you a written letter of permission? No, because on the bank account, Melanie and James is on one account. Her name first. The other account is James and Melanie on the account. Joint accounts. We can transfer money back and forth. What's hers and mine, what's mine is hers. We share in that inheritance together. God's made a covenant with us. And he has given us these things. He has loved us, so we love others. Joyfully, really, he went to the cross. We know it was a hard day and a hard time, but really joyfully is why he did that. He came in because he saw the future of what this cause would create, that his death would create everlasting life for us. So he took joy in that. And now peace. Man, we need peace. The world is full of division. The world is full of protesters. The world is full of searching for something. And we know the world's vices don't give us peace. We can drink in the bars. We can do the drugs. We can sleep around. We can do this. We can do that. We can buy the car, buy the house, go on this great trip. But all of those things wear away, and none of those things give us everlasting peace. It's a siren, ain't it? Yeah. None of those things. It's not the trumpet, y'all. We're all still here. So I've been a really bad preacher if we're all still here. None of those things give us peace. The only thing that gives us peace is God. And let's get in the first verse of this tonight. Psalms chapter 29, verse 11 says this. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. God is the one that gives us that peace. You know, I remember when Lindra had that bad wreck, and I'm on the plane with Bruce going out to Oklahoma. And we're on the plane, and Bruce was, he was quiet, but he wasn't panicky. And he was pretty calm, and he didn't know the extent, but he talked to the chaplain on the phone and just said, get here. Says, well, I think at that point the chaplain did say, it's you know, get here, it's serious. The doctors are saying it's 50-50. And Bruce was pretty calm. And I remember on the plane, I looked at him one time, I said, brother, I said, you're being calm. How are you being so calm right now, not with what's just happened? And I'll never forget, he looked at me, he says, if I can't trust God now, I can't trust him at all. I'm trusting God. Yes, he was worried. But I also saw a supernatural peace upon him that he was putting us in God's hands, recognizing I can't fix one thing about this. I can't change the outcome at all. But my God can. Our God can change our outcomes. When we can't move a mountain an inch, God can move it a mile. When we can't jump over a little stone, God can cause us to leap mountains. That's what God does. It's God who moves those things out of our lives. When I saw that calm on Bruce, it spoke to my heart that he had a trust and a peace in God when it mattered. It don't take no peace to trust God when things are going good. It takes peace to trust God when your world's falling apart. It takes peace when everything around you is shattered. That's what takes peace. God, can I have peace when the storm is all around me? When the winds are calm, that's not a big deal. But when the winds blow, can I still have that peace? If the peace I'm operating in is based on my circumstances, based on my situation, it's not true peace because that changes. But man, if my life is based on the root of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the foundation, then no matter what comes my way, if I'm attached to him, I'm going to have peace because he is peace, and that peace should be in me if I'm his child. Remember, his Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We are the temple of God. His Spirit now lives in us. And if I believe that Jesus is strong enough to save me from my sins and give me everlasting life, Why can I trust him to walk in a peace when I don't see the answer? I'm going to trust him, period. He gives me that peace. Nobody else can give it to me. The world can't give it. Money can't give it. Everybody's striving for the next thing. If I had this money, I'd be okay. If I could get this next step in my life, I'd be okay. If I could get this behind me, no, you wouldn't. There would always be something, because peace has to be something on the inside. It's not an external thing. It's an internal thing. Our heart and our mind must be clothed with the peace of God, period. Not with what happens around us, but because of who lives inside of us. He gives us that peace. Next verse. This is Isaiah, I believe, 54:10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Isn't that good news? Neither shall the covenant, we talked about that, the covenant of my peace be removed. There is a covenant God has made with us. And he says that covenant shall not be removed. We remove ourselves from that covenant. We're the covenant breakers, not God. We're the ones that step out of the situation and start worrying, losing sleep, popping medication to keep our thoughts from getting all, you know, clouded, insomnia nights, binge eating, not going to work, whatever we're doing to try to deal with not having peace. And none of those things help. We're the ones that step away from that. Instead of saying, you know what, God? I'm not going to always know the answers. My day is not going to always be wonderful. It's not always, as the movie's titled, it's not always a wonderful life. There's moments, like in Barbara's life, that changed very quickly. One day, just a cough. Just feeling a little bit bad, going to the hospital. A few hours later, it's cancer. Life gives us things that we're not prepared for. But the peace of God through cancer, through any diagnosis, through anything that happens in your life, the peace of God can rise above that and cover that and keep you at bay in the moment you should be going crazy. God, I trust you more than what I'm going through. You've made a covenant with me, God, that I can have peace in you, peace with you. And I'm not going to let nothing interfere with that. It's a contract, God. It's a legal agreement you have made with me, a covenant of peace. And I trust that more than I trust what I see. We get so worked up over politics. We all have our opinions. And I'm passionate about how I feel, too. I really am. But I've learned to realize, the more I walk with God, the older that I get, I've learned to realize that, you know what? The government really don't care what I think, Gail. They really don't care what I think. And I can't do a nair thing about really what they're doing other than vote. It's all I can do is vote. I can complain. I can bellyache. I can whine. I can get all rattled about. I'm not this age. Some of y'all are. They're going to take my Social Security away. They're going to cut my benefits. They're going to take my Medicare away. You know, they're going to do this, and gas will go up, and grocery will go up, and blah, blah, blah. We can't really control none of that. I just trust him. God, you're on the throne, and everything is under your authority. Every Congress seat, every Senate seat, every administrative seat. The Bible says the powers to be are ordained by you, whether the world likes it or not. So God, I'm not going to let what's happening, government, take my peace. I'm not going to let my youngins take my peace. I'm not going to let my coworkers, you ever work with any of those? Take my peace. I'm not going to let the doctor report take my peace. God, we have a covenant, and it's unbreakable, it's unshakable, and I'm going to stay connected to you like peanut butter to jelly on a piece of bread. I'm staying, God. Remember the prophet, was it Elisha, after Elijah, that wouldn't leave the prophet? Remember that? He says, stay here, I got to go tell my, Elijah knew he was about to depart from the earth. He was on his farewell tour, so to speak. And Elijah kept wanting to follow him, the prophet. He was in training. He says, no, you wait here. Wherever you go, I'm going. So he went. Next stop, you stay here, I'll be right back. No, wherever you're going, I'm going. Remember what the prophet told him? He said, I want to see you when you go, when God come get you. He says, well, if you're with me and that moment happens, you'll see it. He stayed with the prophet every step of the way. He wasn't detoured. He wasn't taken off course because of what the prophet told him. I'm with you. I'm staying with you. I'm following you. That's how we need to be in our faith. Our faith's not something we put on a shelf. And when things are going good, woo, praise you, Jesus, hallelujah, I feel the Spirit up in here. And we're just hallelujahing all day long. Then the storm comes. I don't even know if there is no God. He ain't listening to me. I said this the other week, we're bipolar Christians. Up one day, down the next. Up, down, up, down. If we have God's peace, that keeps us flatlined, doesn't it? No matter what we're going through, I got peace. Satan, you're not taking my peace. You're not going to take my peace of mind. You're not going to take it. I'm not going to lose another night's sleep worrying about something that God's got in his hands. If we believe God is king of all, Lord of all, I trust that. So why am I losing sleep? Why am I having health issues and anxiety and panic attacks whenever God, you have got me in your hands and nothing that you don't allow happen won't happen in my life. I trust that. So I got peace, whatever that is. I'm going to give two examples here. We're going back to the Old Testament here, way back. If you'll turn back to the book of Numbers. You may think it's odd to talk about peace in the book of Numbers, but I want to read an account that happened where two men out of 10 had peace. This is the story of the spies, the 10 spies that Moses sent out to spy out the land. They were about to go into battle. And like any good military strategist, you know, hey, let's go see what's going on so we know what we're facing. So let's look at Numbers 13. We're going to begin with verse 18. Verse 17 talks about Moses sending them to spy out the land of Canaan and then to go check it out. 18, see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth there, whether they be strong, weak, few, or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up, searched the land, from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, where they came to Hebron, where Ammon and Statesville, Mooresville, and all those cities. The children of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came to the brook of Eshcol, cut down there a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Them pomegranates is old, ain't they? That's a big thing right now, right? Pomegranate juice and pomegranates, very healthy. Man, that was way back in. That's pretty neat. That's where they got in the produce bar and the juice things. The place was called the Brook of Eshcol because the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from there. Now here's where we get to the nitty-gritty. They returned from searching the land after 40 days. So 40 days, there's 10 men really getting a report of everything happening. And when they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh and brought back word unto them, said to the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, we came to this land where thou sentest, and surely it does flow with milk and honey, and there is fruit in it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. They had an incredible scattering report. Great detail. Now notice that these spies were saying the people are great. A lot of people. Da, 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 da. Look at verse 30. Caleb stilled. He calmed down the people before Moses. Actually, the word still, if you look at it, means hush, be silent, hold their tongue. He told them to be quiet and listen. And he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. The very next verse, I don't have it up there, goes into the other saying, no, they're big, they're strong, they're like giants. We can't overcome it. The difference in Caleb, other than, of course, faith in God, we know it's faith, also had a peace that God was going to handle the business. I'm not worried they're big and they're strong. I've got an assurance. You know what peace really is? It's assurance. If you got peace about something, you've got assurance about something. You may not know how it's going to work out, but you're assured in yourself it's going to be okay. No matter what, I'm assured it's going to be okay. Here is Caleb saying, what are y'all talking about? Yeah, they're big. Yeah, there's a lot of them. And yeah, we're going to have to fight. But I've just got a peace to know that, do you know who's leading us? They worship false graven images, false gods. The God that we serve is not on their side. Think about when you have a pickup game as a kid. You know, you pick teams. They pick captains. We've all done that. You're the captain. You know, you get to pick who you want. You pick the ones that you think can win, right? You pick the ones you know are the best. And you got confidence. Man, we're going to win. This dude's 7 foot tall. Just throwing the ball every time. That's all you got to do. Every time. You got a peace that's going to be okay because you've got the right people on your team. We serve a God who leads us, who's over us, and who guides us. We should have a peace that no matter what giant stands there, how surrounded we may seem, how walled the cities are, how over the top impossible it looks, it's not bigger than God. Nothing's bigger than God. He's the God of all creation, of all glory. He's the God of everything. There's nothing made that wasn't made by God. Nothing breathed upon that wasn't breathed upon by God. Nothing that exists that doesn't exist because God didn't tell it to exist. And I'm going to worry because they're bigger than us, and maybe they look stronger than us, but they're not stronger than God, and they're not bigger than God, and that's who is leading them. It wasn't about their ability. Caleb knew that. Caleb wasn't being boastful. He wasn't being like some arrogant jerk saying, oh, we got them, man. You know, come on. We're bad, man. It wasn't an arrogant, cocky thing. It was a God thing. He was empowered with the assurance and trust and peace that his God would bring them victory. Do we have that peace in our lives? We can't change a diagnosis, but God can. I said it earlier, we can't in our own abilities move a mountain, but God can. So I trust that. I trust that more than what I see. I trust that more than what I feel. I trust that more than what I see. I trust that more than what I even know in this world. Because there's things God is doing that if I would just have peace that we read Sunday morning, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them who are the called, who love God according to his purpose. That's what I trust. Everything's going to work out. Just trust God. We are trying to beat a square peg into a round circle and wonder why it don't work. Let God place the pieces of your life exactly where he needs to place it. And trust that. Your puzzle today, tonight, may look a little not put together. Your puzzle may be very uncertain, and your puzzle may look like it's far from being complete, and maybe it is. But God knows exactly what piece goes where, and God will place that piece where he wants it in his time. So God, I trust you to put my life together and orchestrate it the way I trust you. I got a peace, God, that I don't have to see to believe. It's a peace that only comes from God, not the world. Trust me. They're sitting up here, but I want to read that next verse. After Caleb said that, the other man went up and says, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they close out by saying this, we saw the giants which come out of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we. In our own sight, they were seeing themselves as defeated and weak and smaller and overcome. Why? They had no peace that God was going to help them. No peace. Same thing in children of Israel on the departure out of Egypt. And they got the Red Sea. Remember they started to cry. I read that this morning. They started crying out again to God. Or to Moses, started crying out and saying, you know, wish we'd stayed in Egypt. Been better if we died and been buried in Egypt out here in the middle of nowhere. You ain't got peace, God's going to get you to the end of your journey. You think God's going to drop you like a dime on the floor in the middle of your and just leave you forsaken? Not when the Word of God says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. That gives me great hope and peace to know, okay, God, you ain't leaving me. You're not forsaking me. I'm in a mess right now. My life is rattled right now. And maybe I'm in a place I don't want to be right now. But God, I've got a peace that you've not forsaken me and you've not left me and you remain right here where you always are. Give me that peace to trust you through this process and through this battle. The Bible says we never have battles, never have storms, never have problems. But he made promises that he would be there through our battles and through our storms over and over and over. And he is. And he always will be. He's not going to leave you. We've seen God show up in our lives and we had very traumatic storms that hit our lives. And we've seen God's peace. I think Marjorie probably had that, talked about that one night a while back. We were talking about peace and she brought up about Steve. And I think we were talking about peace that night and how that, you know, there was a peace that God gave her in that moment that is not a normal kind of peace. It's hard to have peace when you go through something like Marjorie went through. You know, it's hard to have peace when you go through a traumatic experience of losing a loved one that's your life partner. It's hard. You lose a child. It's hard. But somehow, God has a peace that, as the Bible says, passeth our own understanding. It supersedes how we should feel, and it fights for us. When we shouldn't have peace, we can. When Melanie's Opal died, her grandma, she was so close to, and she, I really worried about her when she would pass, how she'd respond. And I told Melanie that, so I'm really worried. She goes, I'm worried too. And it was amazing to see the peace God gave her. We've talked about that since. How God gave her a peace in that moment of her passing to get her through her storm. We don't like battles. I don't want no giants in my life, do y'all? I don't want no giants. I want a clearer path of just glory. We all want that. I don't want no pain in my body. I don't want no sickness. You know, I mean, your Sunday school teacher, who's still a very young man, had to have a full hip replacement down at Duke. About two years now. He's a young man at that time. Well, still a young man, but, you know, he's younger 2 years ago. You know, he's going to Duke down there, and I'm like, you know, here's a guy that served you all of his life, God. I've known him since he's 13 years old. I mean, I knew Bill right when he was hitting puberty. I knew him from the important times up. And I saw his life lived. And I know how he served God. And here he is having to have this extremely serious surgery. And Bill's situation is a little bit complicated. It wasn't a standard hip replacement. There was some other, his was a little more challenging. And God got him through that, even though he went to Duke, but it's okay. They're the best. You know, we have battles. You know, it's like, you know, people bring up, Barbara brought this up, said, you know, I don't know why it's happening to me. I can't process why it's happening. I don't understand. And none of us do. The enemy attacks all of us. And in this fallen state we're in, we know that there is pain and there is suffering. But thank God I've got a peace that all the pain and all the suffering will one day be over. And man, what peace that brings me to know, God, no matter what comes my way in this earthly journey between the dashes, however long my dash numbers are, in that dash number, no matter how long, how short, how long, that God, my life is in your hands. And I'm good with that. I'm good with that. And I can face that because nothing can take away that covenant peace that you have given me. You know, Steve had a hard decision to make back. It's been how many years? 4. And I remember Marjorie having that talk with her husband. It was a devastating talk to have. And remember they talked about, you know, he'd been through a couple rounds and it was just, nothing had really improved. And it made him just so weak and sick and miserable. And remember he, you know, talked to Marjorie and said something very hard for a wife to hear. I don't want to go through it again. I'm ready to let go and go home. I just want to go home. And it took a lot from Marjorie's wife to say, I hear you and I love you. And that's okay. If that's your decision, I'm with you. Man. But you know what? Steve had a peace to realize, I'm sick and I'm weak, but I'm in the hands of the Lord, And as I let go, everything's going to be all right. And we know it is for him. Marjorie is void, and her kids are void of that. But man, when you in that moment for Steve to have that peace to know, I'm not going to just be nowhere. I'm going home. God, my life's in your hands. And if my life here is over, it's not over with you. That's the revelation. When our life is not, it think it's over here, it's not over with him. That's the beauty. God ushers us in to our next phase of life, our forever life. It's a beautiful thing to have a peace to be able to let go. For those of us who know Jesus, we should never, ever let anything ever come in and take that away or rob that peace out of our lives. There's hard times. There's critical times. But thank God for a peace to know I'm in the hands of God. We'll read this one more scripture, and we'll stop probably here tonight on this part. This is in Daniel. Once again, we're talking about peace in the book of Daniel. This is the story. I think about Melanie every time I read this because this is one of her favorite stories in the Old Testament. Daniel 3, this is the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this is, we're talking about peace, right? So here are these three Hebrew children who have to make a decision. The king had put up false gods, and they were having a public, they were having a service, okay? 10 o'clock service. Everybody's there. They're going to play all this music. And when the music was sounded, everybody was to bow down and worship and praise all these false gods as part of their demonstration of their faith to their false gods. But these three Hebrew children had a different approach. Verse 13, Daniel 3. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? If you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, if you will fall down and worship the image which I have made, all is well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast in the same hour, in the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. We're not even to think about how to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if it not be known unto thee, O king, we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up." They had a peace, didn't they? To say, "I don't care what you do. You can threaten all you want. I trust God. I'm going to be with God either way. If we burn up, I'm with God. If he saves us, I'm with God. I've got peace with my decision. Don't even think about it. Do what you need to do. God will deliver me either through life or through death out of your hands." Man, what a powerful demonstration of trust and peace and assurance they had in their God. How many of us would be that bold and that brave? How many of us in that moment would utter those words? You know, "Old terrorist, do what you want. I'm not doing anything. Either way, I'm out of your hands." Think of all the martyrs that have happened in the world for the cause of Christ. Today it's happening. In 2020, around the world, people are being martyred and killed for Jesus. Blindfolded, hands behind their back, and executed for Jesus. Tormented and tortured for Jesus. And they don't waver. It's okay. I know in whom I believe. And I've got peace in my heart that I'm going to be with my Creator, even though I'm tortured and even through death, is not going to shake the peace that I have. Peace is one of the things our life should be producing because of who we know. I've got peace because I know Jesus. I got peace because I love Jesus. I got peace because of the covenant promises I have with God. And not only should we be walking in that peace, we should be sharing. As I said earlier, everything we'll be talking about in this series, we should not only be walking in, we should be sharing it. Others are wanting peace. They're starving for peace. Their minds are tortured. Their souls are tortured. And they need peace to know, God, you've not left me. God, you still love me. God, you've not ran away from me. God, you've not thrown me away. God, you've not cast me aside. God, you are still faithful in my life, and you love me as much as you ever loved me. And God, you love me as much as you did before I sinned last night. You love me as much when I sin next week. You love me. Your grace is for me. You died for me. I've got a covenant with you, and that can't be broken. People need to experience this kind of peace. But we're not, as I've been saying for the last few years, I see it. I'm in a lot of different churches now with what I do on the side with the funeral business. I'm in a lot of denominations, a lot of different churches here, a lot of different ministers. And it amazes me how that we just really aren't clearly presenting the gospel of Jesus. It's fear. It's judgment. It's a false narrative of who God really is. And there's many that don't ever get to experience a true peace of God because we can't get ourselves out of the way enough to see that God is the way. And once I see God is the way, the truth, the life, everything becomes clear. Yes, Lord. Thank you that no matter what comes against my life, though I be shaken, though I be afraid, and though I be challenged, I refuse to let the devil rob me of the peace that God has given me. It's part of my life. It's part of my DNA. All these fruits, church, that we're going to be talking about, all these things of our lives we should be walking in are things we have to cultivate. There's things we have to work on. There's things we have to put an effort in saying, you know what? I'm going to love when it's hard to love. Bill shared a story. Was that Sunday school? He shared a story about a coworker situation that was, Sunday school. About a coworker situation that was very, he'd been wronged. He had been completely wronged. And he was carrying kind of that bitterness around for a while because he had been wronged. And he realized, as God began to show him and help him and brought healing to him to let that go. Love is something we have to continually cultivate because we don't like everybody. You ever told your kid, I love you, but I don't really like you right now? I think we've all been there. You've been there, haven't you, Gail? I love you, but I don't like you right now. Don't really like you. Don't like what you're doing. Don't like how you act. Don't like how you're talking, but I love you. We got to cultivate that. We got to cultivate our joy because, man, the world is there trying to take it away. I seen a post down on Facebook that said, somebody I know used to work with, and Ken probably said he used to work with her too, made a post that said, one bad moment can ruin your whole day. Why? Why are we letting one bad moment ruin our whole day? This is the day what? The Lord hath made. I will what? Rejoice in it and be glad. The Bible don't say this is the day the Lord hath made, and sometimes it really stinks, it's bad, it's garbage, but you know what? Just praise Him when it's good and don't praise Him when it's bad. No, this is the day, good and bad, high and low, up and down. This is the day the Lord has made. And because He made it and I'm still alive, there's a purpose and a reason I'm alive. There's a purpose I'm living today. There's a reason I'm not in the grave. There's a reason. So as long as I've got breath, I will praise the Lord. Rejoice in Him. That joy sometimes we've got to cultivate because we don't feel like rejoicing. We get out of bed in the mornings and we have to program ourselves to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. Don't let a coworker ruin your day. Don't let a bad driver tick you off. And I'm bad about that too. I'll be talking about 2 hours later. Who cares? That's 2 hours ago. So what, they cut you off and gave you a dirty little, hand gesture. You gonna let that ruin your day? They need Jesus. Don't let things rob you of the fruit that God has given you. When we continually allow our fruit to be attached to the cornerstone of Jesus, it will grow and cultivate and grow and cultivate and become more and more to help us and to help those around us. But we do have to intentionally operate in these things because a lot of these things don't come natural. It really doesn't. Loving our brothers and sisters don't always come natural. Having joy doesn't always come natural. And walking in peace is not always easy. So I have to tell Satan who he is, that he is a liar, and I'm not going to listen to what he's saying. I know who I am in Christ. That's my foundation. This is my spiritual life, 2020. And this is where I want my life to begin to bloom in these areas, to produce these things, that I'll walk in them and that I can share them. All of us can love someone. All of us can encourage someone. All of us can help bring peace to someone. We really can. When we comfort someone, we're bringing peace to their lives. When we encourage them, we're bringing joy to their lives. When we love them, we're bringing hope in their lives. Let's operate in things God has given us. We're going to stop here because I'm going to get into the New Testament next Wednesday. Some more verses about peace, what Jesus says about peace, what the New Testament says about peace. But peace is a settled assurance. It's a firm belief and a trust that everything, like the old song we used to sing in church, or I used to sing in our old church, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Oh, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Oh, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Be all right. We used to sing that song. It's going to be all right. Because God is part of the equation. And God never fails. And I trust that. Have peace tonight. Your situation, your life, you're battling it. Don't go home tonight and toss and turn trying to figure out how it's going to work. Some of your storms could last a while, so praise them in a storm. Some of your battles may not end tomorrow. So you go to battle like David with your sword in the name of the Lord and trust and have peace that God is fighting for you. There's things we can't change in our own abilities, things we can't move, but in a minute God can change, God can move. Trust that. Have peace about that. There's nothing like the peace of God in our lives. It's a great thing, Doc, to have peace, isn't it? Man. You know, and I know that gives you peace knowing James is with the Lord. You know, he's with God. I miss him, but man, I got peace. I know where he's at. And one day y'all be telling jokes again together. If he's not in timeout. Anybody got anything to say tonight? Add to it before we close out. Absolutely. It's a very true statement. He does calm the storm, and sometimes he calms us. I look back at my life, different seasons I've been through, and I look back and tell Melanie, how did we get through that? I mean, think about all that was going on during that time and how we got through that, how we juggled so many things. You know, I mean, you know, at one time, you know, we had three small kids in the house, you know, and a ministry and working and just so many things happening. I'm like, how do we get through all of that? But, you know, God did calm us through those times to get us to where we needed to be, the next step. And it's a very good point, Marjorie. Sometimes he calms the storm, sometimes he calms us. Let him calm you. If God could speak, God's version of that in 2020 would be, just chill. Just chill, y'all. I got this. Just relax. All righty. Thank you for coming out tonight. We'll talk more about peace, the second half of peace, next Wednesday night. So come prepared for that. And I guess we'll close out. Everybody is good. You'll stand to your feet. We'll close out in prayer. If you have an offering tonight you want to give, you'll put that in the offering plate before you leave. Father, we thank you for the peace that you have given us. And we thank you that this peace nobody can take away. Let us not let people take it away. Let us not let the world take it away. Let us not let situations rob us of what you have given us. It is that peace, God, that keeps us grounded in the middle of our battle. It's that peace that gives us hope in the middle of our storm. It's that peace, God, that reflects who you are, all the glory that you are as our Father. And others can see that we have peace in the midst of our struggles. It gives them hope to know that they can also have that peace. I pray tonight that you bless the people in this room tonight, God, that you bless your people with peace, as your word says. In the name of Jesus, bless your people with your peace inside. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.